The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now, as the holiday season wraps us in its cozy embrace, what better way to celebrate than to chat about the most watched Christmas movies of all time? Now, these films aren't just holiday favourites, they're cultural landmarks, and we're going to talk about a few of those timeless classics that draw us back year after year and help us to do that. We are joined by Lisa Cannon, TV host, executive producer of Spotlight. Lisa, good morning.
Good morning to you, Pat. Good morning. Yes, we're nearly there. Only a few more days to go.
Now, you have divided these into a few different sections. The Heartwarmers, for example.
Oh, exactly. You know, because obviously it's all about rewatching Christmas movies. And some of the ones I'm going to go through today, I've actually watched already. Scrooge and Home Alone, Elf. People love watching heartwarming movies at Christmas time because it kind of spreads the Christmas cheer. But Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol has been adapted into films and televisions alike over 100 times since its publication in 1843, and some of the earliest adaptations go right back to the silent film era. But the one that I wanted to talk about today is, of course, Scrooged, the 1988 classic. It's kind of comedic spin with Bill Murray as the cynical TV executive. But what's great about it is that it kind of has a variation, of course, on the theme. You know, it's a little bit of parody. There's modernized retellings. But this one is particularly funny because it's inspired by Bill Murray's own life. Seemingly, Bill Murray was a little bit of a bah humbug, a workaholic, and it kind of mirrored his own frustrations, excuse me, in the film industry at the time.
All right. Now, you're going to set the scene for us. This is not set in Dickensian times. This is set in the modern era. And as you said, he is a TV executive who's a bit of a burnt out case.
Exactly. So the director was actually Richard Donner. He's known for The Goonies and Superman. So you'll know that it's kind of fun of folly and memorable moments. But this particular passage is a little bit of a mix between the Ghost of Christmas Past, played by the eccentric Carol Byrne. She talks to Bill Murray about the kind of slapstick element of what's going to happen in his life and how indeed he is going to, I suppose, indulge himself in his current state. So have a listen.
Hello, Frank. I'm the Ghost of Christmas Present.
I had a funny feeling. Why did you do that?
Sometimes you have to slap them in the face just to get their attention.
Fine. Slap me in the face. But you kicked me in the balls.
Hush, Frank. It's time to begin your journey. Now, close your eyes. And think.
No. You close your eyes.
Oh, no.
I'm through.
Don't be quarrelsome. Close your eyes. And think of snowflakes and moonbeams and whiskers on Kip. No picking.
I get it now. And if you give, then it can happen. Then the miracle can happen to you. It's not just the poor and the hungry. It's everybody who's got to have this miracle. And it can happen tonight for all of you. If you believe in this spirit thing, the miracle will happen, and then you'll want it to happen again tomorrow. You won't be one of these bastards who says Christmas is once a year and it's a fraud. It's not. It can happen every day. You just got to want that feeling. And if you like it and you want it, you'll get greedy for it. You'll want it every day of your life, and it can happen to you. I believe in it now. I believe it's going to happen to me now. I'm ready for it. It's great. It's a good feeling. It's really better than I felt in a long time.
Now, Bill Murray, he ad-libbed a lot of the stuff.
He did. Well, of course, he's Saturday Night Live, you know, so he really can, you know, go off the cuff and be funny in the moment. And there's one famous scene where he improvised the line, "I'm the Ghost of Christmas Present, and I'm here to show you a Christmas miracle." So a perfect example of how his quick wit helped shape the film's unique kind of tone. But he was in a very dark place emotionally after his brother's death, and he found it difficult to embrace the comedic tone. But nonetheless, I mean, it's one I go to every Christmas. I only watched it two nights ago. It's absolutely brilliant and great cameos as well, including The Godfather's Robert Mitchum. He's the network executive, and John Forsythe. But funny nonetheless, I think the alternative ending they had for Scrooge was a lot darker, where Frank Cross doesn't fully redeem himself. And in the one piece that we just, I suppose, rolled out there, it makes me cry every time because you do see the tears in his eyes. It's actually a brilliant film nonetheless.
Now, another one, and we'll play this clip, and we all know the story. Kevin is forgotten by his family when they're going off on a Christmas trip, and Kevin reflects in this clip as to how he's ended up here.
Kevin, you're completely helpless.
No, Kevin, you're what the French call les incompétents.
Kevin, I'm going to feed you to my tarantula.
Kevin, you are such a disease.
There are 15 people in this house, and you're the only one who has to make trouble.
Look what you did, you little jerk.
I made my family disappear.
The message there being, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, well, this is, of course, in the whole wheelhouse of family fun favorites, and Home Alone 1990, I only watched it last night. You have to revisit it every Christmas because it's hailed as kind of the ultimate Christmas movie for all the good reasons. We've got slapstick humor, heartwarming moments. The story of young Kevin McAllister is often, you know, overshadowed because, you know, you see the bumbling burglars and the chaos and the joy of the season. But really, you know, Macaulay Culkin is a standout actor in his own right in this particular film. He's clever. You know, there's underlying themes of family and togetherness. And my favorite moment is the iconic scream where he applies the aftershave and away he goes. It was spontaneous, actually, and it's a perfect Christmas moment.
And the director had problems with Joe Pesci's cursing.
Yeah, I can't believe they even got Joe Pesci and how they cast him. But actually, he played Harry the burglar, and he swears, he says all the time, and he found it really difficult not to swear around Macaulay Culkin, who was only 10 years old at the time. So how to keep things appropriate, they asked him, could he come up with kind of a way or a final version to curse? So, you know, that he does in the movie is all down to Chris Columbus, the director, who asked him to mask his cuss words for the 10-year-old. So there you go. Joe Pesci had to put a gag on it.
Now, one of the great favourites is Elf. In fact, I watched not all of it because I kind of hit these things in spots a couple of days ago. And this is brilliant. The conceit being that this is a human who thinks he's an elf and arrives back on Earth and is in department stores and so on where Santas regularly arrive. And this is one of those scenes.
Wow! What's this?
This is the North Pole.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Where's the snow?
Why are you smiling like that?
I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite.
Make work your favorite. That's your favorite, okay?
Okay.
Work is your new favorite.
Fine.
It's time for the announcement.
Okay.
Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God! Santa here? I know him. I know him.
He'll be here to take pictures with all the children.
Yeah.
Just keep your receipts. 10 a.m. tomorrow.
10 a.m. tomorrow.
Santa's coming to town.
Yes.
Fantastically funny movie. Absolutely brilliant.
It really, really is. It's a modern gem. I mean, you know, it wasn't my favorite when it came out, but now I watch it every Christmas. My husband loves it. And I think, you know, it's one for all the family. And it's really quotable as well. I mean, everyone knows that scene. They're going to be laughing hearing that again. But even the spaghetti scenes, one of the most memorable moments, you know, Elf, his buddy eats the big giant bowl of spaghetti topped with syrup and M&Ms and sugary treats. But he actually did that in real life and served it up. So that was unscripted. And Will Ferrell is very over the top as a comedic slapstick actor. I mean, even the giant elf costume was deliberately oversized to emphasize his childlike innocence and make him stand out against the big backdrop of New York City. I mean, he's 6'3", so his larger than life size made Buddy look more awkward and out of place, I think, anyway, in the real world. But it was a huge success at the time. 33 million.
Now, a final clip, and this is Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
What an unusual car.
Daddy made it.
Oh, and it actually goes.
It's called Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
That's a curious name for a motor car.
But that's the sound it makes. Listen.
Chitty Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Chitty Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Chitty Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Oh, you pretty Chitty Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. We love you and our pretty chitty bang bang, chitty chitty bang bang loves us too. High, low, anywhere we go on chitty chitty we depend. Bang bang, chitty chitty bang bang. our fine four fendered friend. Bang, bang, chitty, chitty, bang, bang, our fine four fendered friend.
Now, I love this movie too, and Dick Van Dyke turned 99 just a few days ago and had to be evacuated a few days before that because of wildfires in California. But he's just made a new video and a song with Chris Martin. I don't know whether you've seen it, of Coldplay, and it's well worth going online to find it. So
yeah.
Dick Van Dyke, what a brilliant character.
Oh, what a brilliant character. And of course, everybody knows Mary Poppins. I mean, there's so many I could have put in today, Pat. It was just literally, I had to put a cherry pick on what really were the ones that stood out. And for me, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, written by the Sherman Brothers, who also, of course, wrote music for Mary Poppins. And Dick Van Dyke, of course, is quintessential to these memorable parts of the film. I mean, it's upbeat, it's whimsical. It's been, you know, covered by many artists over the years, actually, that particular song. And the inspiration, because it was directed by Ken Hughes, that the sets and the elements were all very surreal and fantastical. I mean, it's got a cult following, actually, even though it wasn't a huge commercial success when it first was released. But I love it. Every Christmas I go to it, and I know you watch The Wizard of Oz, other people love, you know, It's a Wonderful Life. But I think the revisitation of these movies is a sense of nostalgia. You know, it feels like coming home. You get in your gym jams, you watch them, you know, with a cup of coffee, a cup of cocoa, and the Christmas tree lighting. And I think they carry universal themes of love and family and hope, which resonate to all of us, actually, during the Christmas time. But Chitty Chitty Bang Bang is one of the great ones. I mean, you know, his quirky character, Mr. Potts, is wonderful. Of course, then there's the Child Catcher, which everybody was terrified of. But that's part of the movie as well, which is wonderful.
Well, we'll all look forward to indulging ourselves, binge watching the Christmas movies. Lisa Cannon, thank you very much for joining us, and a very, very happy Christmas.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.